Accession number 18005, Reel 1.
Joe Fuller, Reel 1. Where were you born, please?
Ipswich, Suffolk.
Which year was this?
1917.
Did you grow up in Ipswich or Bury St Edmunds?
Ipswich most of the time. I've now been at Bury St Edmunds for 5 years.
Now, in June 1944, you went across to Normandy with the 1st Battalion, the Suffolk Regiment. Can you tell me which platoon and company you were in, please?
I was with A Company, 9 Platoon, and I served with that one the whole campaign.
Can you tell me about your D-Day crossing, what it was like, please?
We left the camp on Sunday afternoon, transported down to Portsmouth. Portsmouth, we boarded the boat, I forget the name of it, I think some of the previous ones knew it. And we were ready for sailing, but the weather was so bad we didn't take off till the following day. So we landed then on the 6th of June. Crossing was fairly well on the big boat, bit rough, but we'd done all the training up in Scotland using the scramble nets, but as it was so rough, they lowered us down the same as they lowered the lifeboat. We were lucky, we went down fairly even. I did see one of the boats well tilted, but that levelled off enough to land all right. And we sat off, which amazed me to see that they'd cleared a channel for us, which looked like riding between the cat's eyes on the road today. We'd got a line like that, and we travelled right into the beach, about 6 or 7 miles, so to say, I wouldn't judge a mile on sea, and a bit bumpy. One or two were seasick, but I was at the rear part of the landing craft and was a little bit better if there was a better of it. Germans had started to land onto the beach and some mortars and shells and that sort of thing, but we just kept head down. Our training had been told that if our pal in front of us went down, our main objective was to get clear of the beach, which carrying a 2-inch mortar and one in a case of mortar bombs, I wasn't able to run very well, but I got up all right and landed up onto the assemble point where I found the rest of me platoon. And after checking on everybody or what we'd got, we had left Sergeant Rayson behind, but we didn't know really what had happened, and moved off in towards our area, or our objective, which we'd been given and trained under a name given to the one, which was ours, was Hillman. We crossed over through part of Hermanville, where we had some casualties, and on to Colville St. Mary's it was then, but now been called Colville Montgomery. We had one or two little skirmishes, what with the mortars, and one thing we never witnessed, or I hadn't before, was this 9-barrel mortar with German Jews, which is more a morale maker than anything. We got to call it the Moaning Mini, which it sounded like when it started cranking up. And one of our sections got cut about going along the road. We went around it, but naturally didn't want able to go right a direct route to Hillman's. Although we'd been trained, well, this was a marvellous bit of training and photography we'd had beforehand to show us where to go. But being only a private, did as I was told and let them do the leading. When we eventually reached Hillman, which should have been, I think, about midday, I think at 4 o'clock in the afternoon before we got there. And I was, for being 2-inch mortar, I wasn't into the perimeter. I was put on the outside, and I put in 4 shells, mortar shells of smoke down to help to give the cover. I gathered that we'd had several casualties, because we had to with pull out back of it and down onto a bank. It was a bank we climbed up to this sunken road, as they called it. I think the same road is still there today, and there's much sunken about it to me, but I have been back. And as I said, they brought about 20 or 30 prisoners out that night. And we went off back thinking we'd done a marvellous job, captured that with 20 prisoners. And we learned they left tanks and that up round the perimeter. We withdrew back from booze about 200 or 300 yards and dug in for the night. Our first day in battle, thought, well, we'd had casualties, but we'd have thought it was going to be a lot worse. I don't think any of us were really frightened. We'd been trained so much, but on the other hand, we didn't know what to expect. As we were digging in, this big fleet of planes come over with towing the gliders and planes giving them support, which give us think, well, we ain't alone here. Now's our chance, that sort of thing. I must say, even too really, when we got onto the boat earlier on, we did have a service, and then we did know we were on the real thing, but we'd been on so many exercises before, it wasn't until then, and we really knew we were on the real thing.
And then you pushed through Normandy, did you?
Yeah, we carried on through Normandy. We went, our next big battle was the Chateau de la Longue, which was a big, I suppose in England we call them mansions, there are the chateaus. It was a big military headquarters. The early company had been cut about the night previous, but we went up the next night, and we got one or two casualties, but the battalion was cut about over that. And we'd had one patrol earlier on at Labisi Wood, losing casualties. That's where we lost a commanding officer injured. He did come back to the battalion later on. And then I think from the chateau we went to Sandeville, but that had been bombed so heavy that we didn't get any support there. With so many bomb craters there, that was one crater joining another. But that was one action to another. Then I think from after then, we got the start of the Fairleigh's Gap. I was on a patrol there where it was started by the water cart going over shooting the mark, and went about 4 or 5 miles up the road and found no enemy. And thought, well, I shouldn't be so long. Come back and said there wasn't much up there. And we formed up a patrol and went up there to find what we could find out. We went up there and, given the position we were, had to do. And held it till the rest of the battalion rejoined us. And then from then onwards, I think I'm just leapfrogging one battalion or one company, one beyond the other, till we got into a little skirmish in Belgium, but not much in Belgium. We got transported up into the rest of Belgium. And from there on, we'd gone to into Holland, where we took a town called Weert, which was fairly easy. There we have patrols for most of our objections in. And then, from then onwards, jumping the piece, we went on. Our next big big operation was over Lone and Venray. I'd then been demoted from 2-inch mortarman to platoon runner, which wherever the officer went, I was his second command. Well, said to run round to him and anything he wanted to know, or when he went on O groups, I had to go with him.
How did you like that job?
I rather liked it. I was quite fit and active then. I rather liked it. I was pretty athletic then. And when we moved over for this overloan, which was to take a brick yard, a brick factory on there. But in doing that, we went a lot of now in Holland, a lot of open country. Our first move was from the start point to the Opelo Road, OPLLO, the name of the place. We crossed that road where there was a windmill, and that was grown up lining, which was nice, about knee height, so if anything happened, you could even get down well covered. When we got to this Opelo Road, there was the road was quite high, so that meant going off the low level onto high, which was a bit of a open target. We got over all right, but we found we were on our own. So any help we wanted, then we had somebody had to go back over this road. Me being runner, I got the job about three times. And I didn't realise then till I got back, and they said, well, every time you got up on that road, machine guns were fired, and we're hitting that windmill and that sort of thing where we was passing. So I said, well, it's lucky it missed me, but going past the second time, somebody heard somebody shout, where you going, Joe? And I said, back for help. And he said, well, I've been sent, but they got me. And I realised, and in the same breath, he said, they got me. And I see him go down, so I went down, and that's my sergeant, Sergeant Cook. And I laid still a minute, and I went over to him, and he'd all been shot down by the lower part of the body. I placed his field dress, and I wasn't allowed to use my own. He placed his field dress in the best I could, and continued back on my duty then, and said that Sergeant Cook had now been hit, the officer had been hit. We didn't know whether the officer had been hit or whether the tank, when they made an objective turn and round and come back, had gone over the trench and caught two of our fellas, but not enough to injure them. There was enough bank to take the weight of it, but they just caught two of them. And then we got this extra help up and further tank support. And we carried on then that long day and finished up on our objective at the brick farm, the brickyard. That night we had to dig in. We had a patrol go out. We dug in. I dug in with Sergeant Ration. We just took over the platoon. And we hadn't got an officer either. And we hadn't been there long and heard an ugly thud, but didn't take the notes. We were tired and nothing else happened to this thud. Next morning, a empty mortar shell laid aside of us. Couldn't have gone off. And then I was really battled then. And I got took out of battle then for 4 days and was sent down to the battle school at Helmond, which is about 6 or 7 miles away from the front line. And I said, well, what if I come here for a rest? He said, no, you'll come back here to learn camouflage and sniping. I said, thanks very much. A big break from the line. And the rest of the battalion carried on and took Ben Ray. And then they were brought out of battle. And then I think we didn't do much more. We went through Enschede and then part of Holland, part of Germany, and back Holland again. And we crossed over the Rhine at Gok. And then it was a matter again of patrols and moving up. And that was the next bad place was Brinkham Crossroads was another place there. But in between that part of the time, Germans had flooded a lot of that ground, and we had to have those buffalo boats, those folding boats up. But that was there where we met up again with some of these German, real young German fanatics. They were really fighting to the last, and when we couldn't move them, not by rifle, we couldn't knock that sort of thing. And they got the flamethrowers up, and they were fanatic enough that they were still in their slit trenches when the flamethrowers were down. So when we did bury them at the end, they were still in the rifle, burnt with their rifles. Some of them were still, they got their rifles in their hand.
Where was this?
At Brinkham. That's only about 4 or 5 miles outside Bremen. That's only nearly up towards the end of the campaign. That's why we were surprised that they were so fanatic. And that was then onwards we carried on to Bremen. We was back in reserve company then again, but they had been bombed, and I think they were really pleased to see us. Bremen was taken, and we carried on till about another 2 or 3 miles out, a place called Scharnhorst, I think it was. And that's where we were when we got the armistice, or the signing of the peace. And from then onwards, the battalion, well, we've done a bit of work, I think we were looking after the displaced persons. They thought they were then going back. We had a little bit of trouble there. The displaced people thought they were going back and were taking some of the stuff, and they were taking some of the Germans. They said, well, the Germans took it off us, and we didn't know which side to be on then. And from then onwards, the battalion...
They thought they were going back where?
They were going back to their own countries. There was Poles and that. There was lots of displaced persons around the Bremen area and that sort of thing. And we got into trouble looking after them, man. And then We didn't know which side to be with. The Poles and that sort, they'd have their stuff to take back to Poland and that sort of thing. Germans had stolen it off them. But other than that, it was... And then the battalion was sending out all people under the 26th group, and I got sent back to... just inside Kiel, with Mill Government from October till the February when I was demobbed.
When you went to the battle school, where was that?
Helmond.
And did you learn to become a sniper?
No, I didn't. I never was too good with the rifle. No, that was only there. That was only a reason of taking me out of battle, but rather than. I was battle fatigued. I wouldn't say I was frightened, I was just shaking. It was really battle fatigue, brawled about fatigue. You couldn't, the army expression was bomb happy, but I wasn't that bad. I mean, I was just, we'd been in it near every campaign there was, bar from Overland to Ben Ray.
What do you feel about having taken part in the war now in 1998?
For two ways, I think I'm pleased. I think I was called up. I was never a soldier. I've done my best. I was always told to do my best. I wouldn't take promotion for that reason. I'd got a wife and home. I got one person to think of. I'd done my job I could. If I took promotion, I'd got other men to look after as well. That was my opinion. I was asked to take promotion twice.
What rank did you have at Overland?
I did finish up, but I didn't take her till the war finished at Lando. Then I was only as acting corporal. But that was in peacetime. The war had finished.
What was your job in service trade?
I was Woolworths, the warehouseman. I was in Woolworths for 3 years.
I think before you went to D-Day, you were in some bombing by the German Air Force in England.
We were at Weymouth. We were putting up the beach defences. And we had bombs once or twice at Weymouth when we were stationed actually in the town. But over that year, and also coming home on leave once I got caught up in the London aftermath. That was the morning after the night before.
What were the bombing attacks like in Weymouth?
There was two nights they tried to get the docks, but we were the other end of the town, and we did get my machine gun one night, but Not really. I was never really actually in the actual effect of the bombing. I think my worst thing, and I am still affected by it, is me ears through the continuous shelling when we crossed the Rhine, because we laid on the Rhine nearly a fortnight before we crossed there.
Did it permanently damage your hearing?
Yeah, it did, really. Although I never got any help.